First John chapter 3 verses 1 to 12.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous.
The verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now when you talk about the love of God, there is not a single man in this world can explain the love of God. Love of God is so deep, so wide, so high. If you talk about love of God, it will take whole my lifetime, and still I won't be able to explain what the love of God is. In American language, we have the word love. Sometimes in King James, they use like a charity, and people do not understand what the charity and love is all about. Most of the time when you say love, they take it as a romantic love. But we read in the Bible there are 3-4 kinds of love, but I don't have time to go and explain to you. But there is a love called romantic love. There is another love called filial love. That's a brotherly kind of love. And there is another love called the agape, God kind of love, or divine love. And now when you say a God kind of love or divine love, what does it mean? God's love is not like we love one another, or we love our wife, or we love a brethren, or we love our family. God's love is divine. God's love is sacrificial love. He sacrifices his life for love. And how can we know what God is? The Word of God says God is love. And if you ask any other religion, explain God. Their God is angry God. Their God, if you go to Calcutta, they call him Mahakali, and the lady is holding somebody chopped neck and holding, and blood is pouring. And any other gods, they think like their God is an angry God. God is there to take revenge or something.
Amen.
But our God is love. Even the mankind rebel against God. The Word of God says man became enemy to God, but still God loved us. How did he love? The Word of God says, John 3:16, say with me, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now when you say God so loved the world, how much love? So much love that he gave his only begotten son. And when you look at the son did not say, well, God, I don't want to go even though you're sending me. The word of God says Jesus Christ came willingly to give his life for mankind. When Pilate said to him, I'm going to let you go, what did he say? You have no authority, but I can lay my life down and I am able to take it again.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God himself.
Right.
Yes. When he said God loved the world and he gave his son, Jesus Christ, and the word of God says son is God himself. How do you know? In the word of God says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and that same word became flesh.
Yeah.
That is the Son of God, eternal God. And when you say God died on cross, he said, when God died, who raised him? Jesus Christ said himself, I am able to lay down my life, able to take it again. But at the same time, the word of God, that the Spirit of God was in him, that Spirit of God raised him from the dead. But the point is here, our God himself gave his life for you and for me. Even though he says he sent his son, God came down from heaven. Philippians chapter 2, if you read from verse 4 onwards, or 4 or 5, please go and read. Philippians chapter 2.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God,
he being in the form of God,
thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And what did he do? Just read one more verse.
But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
So Jesus Christ was God himself, but he says, at the time I want to take a form of man, and I want to die for the mankind, because man committed sin, and man was not able to redeem himself. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, gave the heavenly kingdom and came down and reduced himself to the mankind. And that's the one we see, God's love in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how the word of God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you read in the book of Romans, he said, what God has done, he did not spare his son. Go to the Romans chapter 8 verse 32. He did not spare his son. What did he do? Please read.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
God did not spare his son. Means he did not say, I'm going to keep my son for myself. I'm not going to give my beloved son for the world. But he said, I'm going to give it my son to the world. And when he gave, he said, if he gave his son to die for you and for me, and if you have a need, you need a house, you need a car, you need a job, or you need a health, do you think he will not able to give it? Yes.
Amen.
If he gave his son and he gave it for the whole world, he will give you health.
Amen.
You have to get hold of it. He said, Lord, I need my health. I want to get up and walk. I want to praise the Lord. Once that feeling comes in your spirit, you are able to do it. You have to believe there is nothing impossible with God.
Amen.
Once you get that kind of spirit in your spirit, that God loved me, God gave his life for me, what am I supposed to do? There was a lady, she was having arthritis, and she was lying in the bed, and she was like a 27 years young girl, and she was crippled, and she was saying, Lord, what is use of my life? Why am I like this? I want you to be, you know, touch me and heal me so I can tell the whole world. God said, I'm going to heal you. God has already healed us 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
But we have to know where the healing is. So she said, I want to know right now, when you're going to heal me. The God would have said, I healed you 2,000 years ago. But he said, you want the dates? I give you the date. This is the month, this is the day, this is the hour, this is the minute you are going to be healed.
Amen.
So when God gave her the time, now God wanted to see how much faith she has. Is she going to believe what I said? So the lady called all her relatives, all the friends and all the doctors and all the nurses and told the calendar, this month, this day, this hour, this minute, I'm going to be healed.
Amen.
It needs the courage to tell somebody like that.
Sure.
And the people were all waiting for the timing. The doctors and everybody standing around the bed. Exactly the time clicked. The girl came out of the bed, completely healed.
Amen.
Start praising God. I saw her in 700 Club testifying and glorifying what I'm saying today. You cannot be crippled for your lifetime. You cannot sit there and say, this is the will of God and maybe God wants me to teach something. You have to say, devil, enough is enough. And he has some plan for my life. I'm going to love him back. And I'm going to say, Lord, here I am. I'm available. What can I do for you, Lord? That's the time God will use us. But if you say, well, God loves me and God is good and I'm going to do all kinds of evil things and he's still good to me and whatever I do, he's good, and people are going to tell you our God's love is what? Unchangeable love, or that love never cease and he is always there for you. He's right. But at the same time, the word of God says God is love. And God is consuming fire. Now today we are living in the time of grace. The one day the grace of God, the door will be shut.
Yes.
And then there won't be any grace remaining.
Amen.
When the Antichrist comes, no one will be able to do anything for the Lord. That's why Jesus Christ said, night is coming. So no man will be able to work. This is the time for us to shine for Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to say. If Jesus loved me, what I supposed to do? Go to the book of Romans chapter 8. And start reading from verse 35 onwards.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Right.
Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
Keep on reading.
As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
Read up to 39.
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once you get hold of that love of God, no one will be able to separate you from God.
Amen.
Just like St. Paul said, the same truth can happen to you and for me. It is not only for St. Paul. It is for every believer. Once you love Jesus Christ, then you are not afraid of anyone or anything in this world. No one has power to separate you from the love of God. Only you yourself can be separated. When you say, Lord, I hate you, I don't need you anymore, you are not doing anything good to me, I'm going to go back to Satan and I'm going to worship him. God says, go ahead, I let you go.
Amen.
And the time of judgment, I will take care of you.
Yeah.
But if you love the Lord, how do you love the Lord? until we die, until the death separate our spirit, and still our spirit will keep on loving God.
Yes.
Love is eternal. So the word of God is saying God so loved the world that he gave his son. And now he is saying, behold, what manner of love that Father has bestowed upon us. That's kind of love. That love will not separate us from any problems you're going through. When you love the Lord, your love will be one together blend in God. Because he gave his life for you and for me. That man rescued him from the water, and he might die and go to hell one day if he is not in the Lord. But Jesus Christ rescued us from hellfire, from eternal hell. And that is the greatest love we have in our heart. That's what the word of God says. That we should be called what? Sons of God. We were the enemy of God, but now we are the sons of God.
Amen.
And then he said, that's what's happening. The world knoweth us not because he knew him not. And we learned about this last week. I'm not going to repeat. Let's go to the 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Okay, go ahead.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Now we are the sons of God. We have to have that kind of assurance in our spirit. If you see some nominal Christians and you ask them, are you Christian? Somebody says, oh, I'm a Christian all along. Because, you know, I was born in a Christian family. So I'm a Christian. If you're born in a Christian family, you do not become a Christian.
Sure. Mm.
Just like in other countries, they're born in a Muslim family, they're Muslim. In Hindu family, they're Hindus. If you're born in a Christian family, you do not become a Christian. It's different than other religions.
Amen.
You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And you have to be born again.
Amen.
That's why the Nicodemus didn't understand when Jesus Christ was talking to him. Nicodemus, you have to be born again. He said, what do you mean born again? He said, you have to be born by the Spirit of God. St. John chapter 1 verse 13 says what? Verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave what? To power to be called the sons of God. And read the verse 13.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Okay, how they were born? Not with the flesh or the will of man, but what? But of God. So born again means born from above.
Amen.
Born from God. Born by the Spirit of God. That's called born again.
Amen.
Now if you read 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, please read.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Okay, how did you get born again? By the word of God.
Amen.
By the seed of God.
Amen.
By the Son of God. And once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, something happens in our spirit. If any person, drug addict, alcoholic, or living for sin, living in sin, tell that man, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be completely transformed.
Amen.
As soon as they receive Jesus Christ, something happens. They quicken in their spirit and the old habits will be gone because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives you new life. Let's go back to the Romans chapter 8 and start reading from verse 14 and 17. 14 to 17.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Amen. So what he's trying to say? How do you become the sons of God? We already read from the St. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But he says, once you receive Jesus Christ, what happened? You receive the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. That Spirit makes you the sons of God. And when you start led by the Spirit of God, then you know you are the children of God. Not only children of God, he says, but he says there is no difference when Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you became the sons of God. And then when you see that now you are equal, co-heir. All equal, what Jesus Christ has in heaven is belong to you.
Yes,
that's what he says here.
That's right.
When you are equal into Jesus Christ, Jesus says, I came to make you brethren. So Jesus Christ is our elder brother. And we are born into the same family. That's why we are the children of God. And that's why he said, if you are the children of God, then you have to suffer with him, suffer for him. Then we can have glorified blessings together with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6.
And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts.
Now, what he's trying to say? Because you are his sons, what happened? God sends the Spirit of his sons in you.
Amen.
So God sends the Spirit of his sons in you. That means you are the sons of God.
Amen.
Just like Jesus' Spirit in you. So what the Word of God is saying, God sent his Son's Spirit in you. So you can call Father, Abba, Father.
Amen.
Once you receive Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. Many people do not understand this. But God sends his Son's Spirit. That means you receive the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
And when you receive the Spirit of Christ, you receive the Spirit of God along with it.
Amen.
Go back to the Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans 8, 9.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you.
Okay. Spirit of God dwells in you.
Right. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Now, see, he had two spirits. He says, Spirit of God dwells in you, and if you are not having Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Means, you cannot be called yourself Christian until you have the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ will not come in you until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen, that's right.
So once you receive the Lord and Savior in your heart, The Word of God says the Spirit of God dwells in you. And so many people are confused and they will tell you, we got the Spirit of God, we got the Holy Spirit when we are born again, so we don't need the Holy Spirit, we don't have to speak in tongue, we don't need anything because we already got it. But if you say we already got it, then God is not going to force you to have it. He said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Holy Spirit will not come automatically to you. St. John chapter 14, verse 23. Please read.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Now, how simple is this? He said, if you love me, you will hear my word.
Mm.
Jesus came to tell you everything about
yes.
Father.
Amen.
He says, no man has seen God any time. Who revealed? Jesus Christ, who was in the bosom of the Father, he revealed who Father is. So now he says, if you love me, then if you love what I'm saying, and if you obey what I'm saying, then what happens? I'll come. And when I come, I do not come empty-handed. I come with my Father. Because Father and Son cannot be separated.
Amen.
In the Old Testament or in the New Testament, Father and Son worked together hand in hand. Even the Son was not revealed in that Old Testament, but He was still with the Father in a unity.
Amen.
Only Father and Son were separated on the cross. He says, Father, why thou hast forsaken me?
Amen.
Why? Because He took your sin and my sin, and God hates sin. So God looked other way. And that's the only time. But the Word of God is saying, Jesus says, if you love me, then you will love my Father, you will love His Word, and if you obey me, I will bring my Father with me. And He said, we will. Not I will, we will.
Amen.
That's more than one, right?
Yes.
And when they are going to come, I will come, we will come and dwell in you. We will make our home in you. That's the promise.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God is saying. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are called the sons of God. We are belong to God. And whatever belongs to Jesus Christ is equally ours. That is the greatest blessing anyone ever have. All these other religious people, all other people, they do not know what God is. In some of the books, there is not even word, God is love. It's only found in Bible. Their God is not love. That's why they're scared of their God. Our God is a great God.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And every man hath this, what is that? In every man that hath this hope.
Hope.
What hope? What we read now.
Amen.
This hope means we are going to be sons of God. We are going to be co-heir with Jesus Christ. We are going to be calling God our Abba, Father. We are going to have eternal life and glorious blessing with Jesus. If you have this faith or this hope, if you have, then what you do? He says, if you have this hope in Him, purify Himself even as He is pure. If you have hope in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is coming, He's my Lord, He's my Savior, He made me son, I'm going to be co-heirs with Him, I'm going to have eternity with Him. If that kind of hope you have, in what? In Him. In whom? In Jesus. There is no other religion will tell you that you have hope. What they have hope? If you go to Hindu religion, they will say, I have hope one day when I die, I might become a cow, or maybe dog, maybe cat, or this will go. How many? They have some number. Millions of time you have to go a circle, and then sometimes you will come back to be man.
Amen.
I said, what is this? How many years you will be traveling with a man to cat to dog to elephant to mouse to fly to mosquitoes and all kinds of things. But it is not true. What they are saying is not even true. And even you say, if the man was a sinner and he died as a sinner and he wants to come back as a sinner, what is the circle? He's going around useless. We came here to find out our destiny. Where are we going? We're going where our Father lives.
Amen.
Last week we learned this world is what? Passing away. But we are looking for a new heaven, a new earth, and new Jerusalem. That is our hope.
True.
But that hope cannot be fulfilled without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is our hope. And then he says, if you have this hope, what you do? Purify yourself.
Yes, sir.
As He is pure. Ask them, you worshiping your God, tell me His name and tell me His history Tell me his birth. Tell me about him. And I want to find out if he is a pure and holy God. Not a single person who claimed to be God without Jesus Christ, they can be holy and pure. They are all unholy. I can tell you any prophet in the Old Testament or any person who established the religion, look at their life. Their life was not pure. Their life was not holy. They did all kinds of mistakes. Jesus is the only one pure and holy. No one was able to point finger at Jesus and say, you are a sinner. So Jesus is the Holy One. If Jesus is holy and pure, purify yourself as he is pure. Can we do it without Jesus?
No.
No. Now, if somebody hears this word, he says, our God is a holy God. Our God is a holy and pure God. And now, if you want to go to heaven, be holy and be pure. How can we do it? No man will be holy and pure without Jesus Christ. So if somebody says, okay, you have to be pure and holy, otherwise you cannot go to heaven, but how can we be pure and holy? We cannot do holiness without God. The Word of God says, we cannot see even God, what? Without holiness. Without holiness, no man will be able to see God.
Amen.
True.
That's what the Word of God says. We were yet sinner, Jesus Christ died for us. And Jesus Christ sanctified us and made us holy, acceptable in the sight of God. There are several ways to purify ourselves. I'm talking to Christians, believers. If you're not a believer, there is no cleansing for you. But if you're a believer, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, as he was speaking the word of God, he says, as you hear the word of God, something happens. What happens? You are already purified by the word of God. The word of God has power to cleanse you. The word of God says, when you hear the word of God, God gives you faith to prepare you to hear the word of God. When you say, faith comes by what?
Hearing
of the word of God. When you somebody brings the message and you keep on hearing, then your faith will rise up to believe Jesus Christ. If nobody is preaching the word, nobody is telling you about Jesus, you will not have even faith. Faith comes hearing. The same way, the purification starts by hearing the word of God. Let's go to the St. John chapter 15 and verse 3, I think.
Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Now who is saying this? Jesus is saying. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now this Jesus was not even crucified. He is saying, I'm giving this word to you. And in chapter 6, he said, my word has life. John chapter 6. So what he's trying to say, the word has power to cleanse you, to prepare you to hear about Jesus Christ. Go to your in John chapter 17, verse 17. And he's praying, he says, sanctify your people, sanctify these people. What? By your word. And your word is?
Truth.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Sanctify them. Who? Believers. Last week we learned that Jesus Christ was praying for you and for me. He says, sanctify them through the truth, and thy word is truth. So that Jesus Christ is the truth. And Jesus Christ, when you hear about Jesus Christ, you are sanctified.
Amen.
You are washed by the word. Ephesians also says, sanctify them through the washing of thy the word. The word has power to cleanse you. So what the believer is supposed to do? Every born again believer is supposed to have their Bible ready to read every day.
Amen.
If you don't read your Bible, you are not going to purify yourself every day. The word of God is like a what? A mirror. As you see, read the word of God, and word of God will going to point out your sins. And sometime you're reading and word of God is telling you about your sin. You say, no, this is a wrong chapter. Let me read something else. Because the word of God has power to cleanse you. Purify you. Find out your faults and your mistakes. Because there is a power in the word of God.
Amen.
Okay, then the word of God says, once you have already saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, plead the blood of Jesus Christ every time. There is a power in the blood of Jesus. He says, if you commit sin as a believer, what do you do? You know what? One time, one person came for the service and he was paralyzed, waist down. And we told him, whole night, you should be pleading the blood of Jesus Christ and pray that you should be healed. And this man started praying and said, Lord Jesus, touch me and heal me. And I want to, you know, walk. What devil says, don't listen to those people. You never will be like them. You will never walk again. And he started fighting with him. But this man got the idea. This is the devil. He said, devil, get behind me in the name of Jesus. Because I am going to walk like those people are walking and those people are talking and those people are praising God. All of a sudden, he got healed. Started jumping and praising God and came to church. What I'm trying to say, there is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Go back to the 1 John chapter 1. And start reading verse 7 and 9. Or you can read 7 to 9.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
The blood of Jesus Christ, what? Will cleanse you from all your sins. Not a single sin has power to overcome the blood of Jesus Christ. Any kind of sin can be washed and cleansed. Go to the verse 9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
When you confess your sins, it is not going to go automatically.
That's right.
Many people are saying, once you are saved, saved forever.
Yeah.
That means you are born again. Now you don't have to confess your sins because God knows your sins and God already saved you. So you are saved forever. That's a lie. Because here he says, if you confess your sins, then God is faithful.
Amen.
To forgive all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, all kinds of sin. But you have to come to Jesus Christ. The devil will tell you now it's over. You cannot be holy again. You messed up. Come home, come back. And the word of God says he will make your state 7 times worse than before. If any person walking in Jesus Christ and he went back again, his life will be 7 times miserable than before.
Amen.
So we have to believe that Jesus Christ's blood has power to cleanse you. So when you say, purify yourself as he is pure, how do you do it? Do it by the word of God.
Amen.
Keep on reading the word of God. Keep on studying the word of God. And keep on pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus Christ has more power than any medicine or any other things in the world.
That's right.
Somebody says, I'm taking good medicine, I have a good doctor. I tell you, the medicine is what? Mary heart and Jesus Christ gives you. Once you receive Jesus Christ and joy, full of joy in your heart, you will not sitting on the wheelchair anymore. You're going to dance for Jesus Christ. That's what you have to think. I am going to reading the word of God. I'm going to read the word of God. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus Christ every day for my life. And I will be never be the same. See, the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of bulls and goats. has two different kind of cleansing power. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and start reading from verse 13.
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified the purifying of the flesh.
Okay, now just think what that blood of bulls and goat does. Sanctifies and purifies the flesh outside. The blood of bulls and goat has no power to cleanse you inside. That's why the Old Testament people, we were not able to cleanse from inside. Mm-hmm. Let's read verse 14.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
How did Jesus do it? This Jesus Christ, or the Holy One, without spots, without wrinkles, Holy God, shed his holy blood, and that blood has power to cleanse you.
Yeah.
How? In and out. We don't tell people, if you want to come to church, wear a three-piece suit and give up smoking and drinking and clean your life and then come. If I start saying that, nobody will come to Jesus. I says, come as you are.
Amen. Amen.
Let Jesus' blood purify you.
Yes. Amen.
Where? Inside.
Yes, sir.
Outside. Once you receive Jesus Christ and his blood goes inside of your heart and your conscience and forgive all your bad conscience, whatever the sin you committed in your life, and that memory is there, and that memory is bothering you all the time that you are not good enough. Once you plunge in the blood of Jesus Christ, all the memory of sin, past sins I'm talking about, should be gone. That's why he said your sins will be forgiven and what? Forgotten. There will be no record of your sins. And that's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. Once I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and once I said forgive all my sins, that's why most of the time I say all my sin, and then I'll say all of my sins, all sins from my childhood until today, whatever I committed, I bring it in the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you say that, devil cannot come. If he comes, you tell the devil you are a liar.
Amen.
Devil has no power to accuse you. Even though he is called what? Accuser of the brother.
Amen.
But the word of God said they overcome how? By the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ and devil will flee from you. You don't have to run from the devil. You have to put the devil to flight. So how can you purify yourself? By the word of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
When you plead the blood of Jesus Christ for you and for your family every day, they are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the power is in the blood. The third thing is sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 16.
That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
Be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We were Gentiles. We were not Jewish people. But now we are adopted in the family of God. And he says, how we sanctified? By the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit has power to cleanse you.
Amen.
So if somebody says, I don't need the Holy Spirit, then you have no cleansing power. You have to be cleansed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you be one with God.
Amen.
And you forget about the world and we are completely tuned into Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So I'm going to stop here, and God willing, we'll pick it up next week. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. We cannot even understand your love. But only we can understand that you gave your life for us. You redeemed us. You purchased us. We belong to you. Thank you for giving us that hope in Jesus Christ. We will be just like him. Give us grace, Lord Jesus, to purify ourselves daily by the Word of God, by the blood of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Give us grace to live clean and holy life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.